Welcome, Marcus.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Where was I now? Oh, the Merton Barrow. So in the Merton Barrow, he says the community is so divided, and they as a council most of the time sit around the table to discuss how can they bring the community back together again. Because the last 10, 15 years, it's a constant battle to make, you know, to get people to work together. And it actually has some manifestations even in things like when there's voting taking place, they must have more police. So it costs them a lot more. Because they must protect certain people and certain rights within the, you know, the society. And it's a difficult problem that they have, because one of the things that they clearly said, they can't have a situation like in the past where the church has such a prominent role in society where it can actually dictate the debate, because they must be open to all religions, which I understand. One of the challenges on the table is that we actually are getting it right in the church. That even though some of us are voting for Brexit and some are voting for Remain, we still can get along. Is it not so? It's not political issues that divides us, but it's the cause of Christ. And the challenge that we do have is, he says that they've got 3% of the community takes 60% of the budget. Okay, so 3% of the people in need is taking 60% of the budget of this borrow. And at first I thought, you know, that's quite unfair. And I was thinking about the fact that, you know, what about the 97% then? You know, what about the 97% that is contributing to the, to almost 100% of that budget then? You know, and God was just having a conversation with me about Matthew 18, 12 to 14 for us as Christians. The fact that our God is a God that loves the vulnerable, and yes, the vulnerable, within us to be vulnerable, it creates a weakness and there's a risk for weakness. But is it not so that in that weakness, Jesus became the hero of all time? And that the church has a place to have a discussion about the 99. So what about the 99? What about the fact that, you know, this scripture is talking about the one? So why do we talk about the one? Because all of us need a savior. And clearly, when the scripture talks about the sheep that's wandering away, it talks about the fact that there's a place of isolation, there's a place of desperate living, where all of us must be honest with ourselves in where we stand with God. Where are we at in our coming closer to the shepherd? Because the shepherd is truly committed to the cause. He's truly committed to such an extent that he will go and fetch that one. And so Jesus, if Jesus doesn't go, who is going to go? because Jesus, he's really committed to number one. He's committed to go and do it himself even, to draw people close to his heart. And then we also see through his commitment to the one sheep, that his love for those who need him actually is portrayed, and his heart is exposed in the fact that he loves the vulnerable. He loves the lost, and he loves us, because each one of us need a savior. And so why did he leave the 99? Is it because they have the truth to lead them to safety? Is it because they've got one another, that they can cover one another and still be fine if Jesus goes after the one? Can it be that the 99 is not in need of a savior? That our God only responds to those who need him? And it's a challenge this morning, because we in the church sometimes, you know, is so arrogant that we forget that we need the Savior, and he will only respond to those who so desperately need him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, such a known scripture, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. 1 John 5:1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and of everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So I want you to get back to the picture. The shepherd is going to fetch the sheep. And it speaks about the fact in Luke 15 as well, that he goes into the mountains, to the areas where this sheep has wandered away to. And we must be honest with one another this morning. Some sheep is just stubborn. Some are lost and gone astray. Some are caught up in shameful behavior and is too shameful to admit that they need a God so desperately. Some justify their actions by rationalizing it themselves. And so maybe the 99 is in need of a savior. And my conversation with you this morning is that all of us need Jesus. All of us need him so desperately. You know, we were listening to the Alpha course ended this week on Wednesday evening, and thanks to the Alpha team. Just raise your hands, those who were involved. It's amazing. Those who made food as well. Yeah, there's so many of you. Thanks. It was really a team effort. But listening to the participants, their feedback to say to us, listen, you know, there was a few moments that really impacted our lives, and they mentioned that. And one of them said, there was a moment where the picture was drawn of Jesus, you know, standing at the door, Revelation 3:20, standing at the door and he's knocking. And she said, you know, I remember that scripture that was taught in Alpha, because the preacher said the door handle is not on the outside. The door that is painted on the picture doesn't have an outside knob, but only an inside. And the reason, the painter said, is that you are the only one that has the ability to turn the knob and to open the door so that Jesus can come in. And you know, for the sheep, it means that each one of us have the opportunity to open that door, to dine with him. Just verse 12 again. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 in the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? Jesus forgives and he saves. And he also brings us to an expectation that not only do we, through actions of generosity and of affection toward people, bring them closer to him, but to lead them to his heartbeat. And the essence of the story is, you are either the lost sheep or those who stay behind, but all of our, how it's defined is our relationship toward the, okay, are you awake here this morning? The shepherd. So your relationship with the shepherd determines how you are in standing in life. And so for me, the beauty of it is that in every society, there's a choice. You will see that moral status even in society is determined in how society deals with the vulnerable. That's one thing that I love about this country, is that they actually do spend 60% of the budget to 3% of our communities. It's a exposing of the heart. And the same challenge for you and I, because we become so arrogant in our walk with Christ that we forget that we are tested every day in our vulnerability toward him and our commitment to those who desperately need him. So the context of chapter 18, and I must maybe just draw this, maybe I should have done this from the beginning, but the context of this chapter is actually about not offending people, making sure that you are not the cause of the offense. chapter 18 also speaks about the children. And Jesus says, listen, let the children come to me. Let them be the ones that get attention. And so in the midst of this, Jesus is also talking about the lost sheep. And he says, listen, you can get so involved in your everyday life that you forget about the vulnerable, about those who desperately need him. And though Jesus says, listen, I will give up everything and I will turn to those who need me so desperately. So there's this joke of the waiter. It says, waiter, waiter, do you serve crabs? And then the waiter says, no, sir, we serve everybody. Okay, now you're at least awake. The fact is, Jesus focused on everybody. And Jesus' focus is on the fact that he is reaching out toward those who are vulnerable. My question this morning is, do we do the same? What is in the mountains that makes the sheep to wander? Why would anyone want to walk away from the love of such a father? We're talking about fathers this morning. Why do we want to walk away and go into the mountains? What would be the reason? Is it because the grass and the water is better in the mountains? Is it because we have lost sight of the shepherd? Did we wander away and lose even attention of where the shepherd is going? So we've got a little Zoe in our house. And clearly my wife wanted another name for her. And I think it was about a month before she got, born. I said, I don't know, but God spoke to me and he said to me, we must call her Zoe. And I don't know if it was because of that and if it was because God just wanted to bless us with the most energetic kid in this whole world. But one thing that I can tell you, it's so perfect for her. That name is so perfect because she's always so energetic. But one of the problems that we have here in London from day one is that Zoe is never staying with us in the group. Okay, so when we want to go to the city, when we want to walk in the streets, Zoe is always wandering off. She's running. I mean, it's not even that you tell her to do something and she doesn't do it. It's just that she's so fast, you don't see her just disappearing. Okay? And so the whole time, I'm more relaxed and to the detriment of the family because I sometimes forget that Zoe is even there. But my wife, she wants to know every little detail of where Zoe is at. And I hear her the whole time that we are walking to the city. She's saying, Zoe, Zoe, come here. Zoe, stay with us. Stay with us, Zoe. Stay with us. Okay? And so later on, the whole group is now irritated with this. Stay with us. Stay with us. But if it was not for Milani, we would have lost Zoe a long time ago, I promise you. Because, it happens often that I go to Sainsbury's with Zoe, and then the next moment I just don't know where she is. So luckily I've got a wife that focuses. And I can tell you that is quite a big job to keep Zoe with us and to keep us staying with the group. And this is such a point where we must be honest with ourselves that losing attention and wandering off from the group, wandering off from where Christ wants us to go, so easily happens. And you can even ask me this morning, where did the shepherd go? There's one boy that asked, I don't know what the name of... It's a very famous guy, actually, but they tell the story of him being on the beach and, getting lost, and he's asking the police in desperation, where's my mom and dad? And then the police told him, well, they can be hiding anywhere. For me, that's some of us deal with God that way, is that we sometimes, hide from God. it's so convenient to rather stay away from his purposes and convictions. And we like Jonas, running away so far away from what he wants us to do that we don't confront ourselves with the promise that he has for our lives. And when things become more important than God, we start to embrace sin and selfishness, and we lost track of the shepherd. And sin become more enticing than his safety net. And, you know, the risk of being on that edge the whole time leads us to a place where we sometimes fall off the cliff. And I want to say this morning, and I want to be very clear about this. Stop taking risks to play on the edge of cliffs when it comes to the world and its enticements. And I'm talking about TV. I'm talking about your mobile phone. I'm talking about your friendships. I'm talking about what society has to offer, because I can see that Christians are falling off cliffs. And to get on the cliff again is a lot more difficult. And that place of being confronted with the shepherd looking for us is that he's ever committed. He is so committed to be with us. If you taste Jesus once, you don't want to taste the grass on the other side. While in the mountains, all of us start to doubt our calling and the status quo. And this morning, maybe you're sitting here and you are doubting. You know, if God is still in this boat, is he still committed to this season of your life? And I can tell you, for me, it's from time to time, you know, a confrontation where I must, again, just be very clear with the shepherd in, am I really connected with him in such a way that he's the one that carries me back into the fold, that's keeping me from falling? Matthew 18:13 then again, and if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. Anything other, and I want you to listen to this, anything other than a right relationship with God should make you miserable. It should. Because that is a life without Christ. Listen to this. Anything less than a relationship will make you miserable and is not what God wants from you. And I'm not saying that, you know, in any person that doesn't know Christ is miserable. But what I can tell you, I don't want to have a life without him. Because when you are there in the wilderness, in the mountains, when you fall astray, you miss the shepherd. The most terrible deception is to be in that empty place and keep telling yourself, I am fine. The shepherd knew that the sheep was away. He didn't send other sheep to fetch the sheep. He went himself. And that is his commitment. And yes, he's using people in your life to get you focused again, and he's using people to pray for you and support you, but he's the most committed of all. I, as the pastor of this house, will not be running after you the whole time and trying to change nappies. Let's settle that one. Although I love you dearly, I can't change 40, 50 nappies, okay? That's not possible. But what I can tell you, Jesus is committed to walk with you all the way. And though we fail people, he's committed. Only God knows the state of your heart. I cannot assume to know. The shepherd himself longs for you. Listen to this. The shepherd relies on the sheep hearing his voice and his memory, the sheep's memory of the care of the shepherd. So the closer you are to that voice, the more clearer you will hear it and return back to him. But we know that some are harmed so much that they are too weak to respond. And yet, the shepherd is still committed. Wandering off will take you to strange places. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be told to do anything. I don't want to be dependent. And we see that that is where society is at. And so, who are the sheep that has gone astray? Those who permanently refuse the shepherd, permanently refuse to hear. But Andrew Murray said, there's no one so lost that Jesus cannot find him. And I stick to that. I know that everyone has the opportunity to come close to him. So he's rejoicing in receiving and recovering the sheep. God's love is personal, and it's love. God's love is seeking. So is the one more valuable than the 99? Let's talk about our heart being exposed. Is the one more important than the 99? Certainly no. I remember in our student years, my wife in her fourth year actually, she did an extra year for teaching, specializing, and then the last part, the last week actually, no, it was actually, yeah, it was the last week of her studies. One evening she went to one of her friends in the other hostel, they were, preparing for some exams because they had to write the next morning, and then the whole hostel burned down. When she was now with a friend, when she came back to the hostel, it was up in flames there in Wellington. And I remember her phoning me that evening because some of our wedding stuff, because that was about, the 1st of December or something like that, because the academic year stops in December there. The place burned down about the 1st of December, and the 9th we got married. So there was a lot of the stuff for the wedding was in her room, and it burned out. It was terrible. And I think the thing that she actually missed the most was actually her albums of all the photos of us being together. Now, those days, I can promise you, digital stuff was still very new, so we didn't have backups on backups on backups like now. It was only the hard copy, okay? So we lost, the two of us, because it was my photos and hers, we lost all of our photos until that point. Even our, school photos and stuff was in albums because she was now making ready to get to the wedding day. So all her stuff was there, packed in a room. Now, if Melanie could reclaim, those albums, I think that would be not even the wedding shoes or anything was as important as those photos. It will bring back beautiful memories, but I can also tell you it will be a big celebration. Can you just imagine Melanie getting those albums back? It's so precious to her. It's something that is so sentimental. And yet, it will not be more important than all the albums that she has built up after that. But the celebration is so amazing, because she has received back what was supposed to be gone forever. And this is the message of Matthew chapter 18. Jesus does not love the one more than the 100. He's committed to all, and he's so excited about all of our lives. But he celebrates everyone that returns back with a commitment to walk in relationship with him again. And that is my message to you this morning. Jesus is the Lord of the vulnerable. And in this society, I can tell you, he will always reach out to the 3%. But you know what? He will also reach out to the 97. And the 97 can miss him as well. Because if they are not focused on his heart and not understanding that salvation is a relationship with Christ and a walk with Christ, they will miss it altogether. My message to you this morning is sitting here and being challenged with me, because I'm getting back to the place where I'm just saying, God, please make me aware of the need beyond myself. Not in action, but to bring people back to the heartbeat of Christ. To return people to the shepherd. Because the shepherd is committed. He's focused. And, you know, I've actually, Matthew 18:14 then says, So it is not the will of my Father, who is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. It says, it's not the will of my Father, our Father. He's committed to us. And he's calling us to turn to him, to be part of him, and to be part of his family. But I've read, you know, a story that I just quickly want to just read to you. Robert Robinson wrote a beautiful hymn. And bear with me as I read you this story, because I was trying to think how I'm going to tell it. And I think, listen, you guys rather listen to the story. In his youth, Robert Robinson was apprenticed to a barber in London and lived a wild and reckless life. But one day he heard a sermon by George Whitefield on the stem words of John the Baptist to the Jewish leaders of the day. Brother vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The Spirit of God convinced the wayward young man, and he put his faith in Christ. Associated with the Wesleys for a time, Robinson served as a pastor, and this was now in the 1700s, so just keep that in mind. Robinson served as a pastor in several churches. He wrote a number of works on theology and two hymns that he know of, Mighty God, While Angels Bless Thee, and Come, Thou Fount Every Blessing. The latter hymn begins, Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Are you still listening? Because this is not, if you don't follow, you're not going to get the story. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. The song is an autobiography in its confession of a proneness to wander away from the Lord. Though a man of intellectual brilliance, Robert Robinson was, in the words of Scripture, unstable as water. In his latter years, he drifted away from God. This weakness is reflected in a latter stanza of the hymn above. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. In a spiritually backslidden condition, the author was traveling in a stagecoach one day. His only companion was a young woman unknown to him. In the providence of God and not realizing who it was she spoke with, the woman quoted, Come thou fount of every blessing, saying that encouragement, what an encouragement it has been to her. And try as he might, Robinson could not get her to change the subject. Finally, he said, with tears in his eyes, Madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who composed that hymn many years ago. Can you believe it? Now I'm emotional. And this is story of the 1700s. And I would give 1,000 worlds, if I had them, to enjoy the feelings I then had. Gently she replied, Sir, the streams of mercy are still flowing. Let's stand. He was deeply touched by that. As a result of the encounter, he repented. His fellowship with the Lord was restored through the ministry of his own hymn and a Christian willing witness. Let's just pray. Father, this morning, we are in your house because we love you. Oh God, we are here because you are the source of our lives. You might be standing here this morning and you are at a place where you know that the shepherd is longing for you. The shepherd is committed, and yet you know that he wants to have that conversation with you this morning. Maybe you are at the place where you've gone astray. You've walked away from the place of safety, the place of the shepherd's sphere of influence even, this shepherd's safety net. And this morning, you know what? He's not even cross with you. He's not going to fight with you because he loves you too much. But the choice is for you to make, to come closer, to be in the safety place. And I'm not talking even this morning about not knowing him. I'm talking about even going astray and missing him. And he wants you to return. He wants you to come back to that place where he is the most important thing in your life again. That is you this morning. I want you to just raise your hand where you stand, just in recognition to what God is doing. Amen. Is there anyone else this morning? I don't know the condition of your heart. I don't know where you are at with God, but I know one thing. I don't want to wander at the wrong place. Amen. Anyone else here this morning? Oh God, we worship you for moments like this. We worship you, Father God, for who you are. And this morning we choose to fix our eyes on you again. In Jesus' name. So can you quickly pray with that young man, please? Amen. I want you to turn to the person next to you. And you know what? This morning, there is a place of honesty. And I know this is terrible. You always are afraid the pastor is going to come to this part of the service where he's going to ask you to be honest with the person next to you and pray for the person next to you. And all that I'm asking you now is just have an honest conversation about where do you stand with the shepherd? Because he wants to draw you back. Is that all right this morning? quickly turn to the person next to you. Mariette, can the three of you, or maybe can you go with Joseph and then two of them? Can you, Jen, go with Magda? Amen.
that you have given her, Father. I want to thank you, Father, for the influence that you are increasing, Lord. I want to thank you, Father God, that just even in her natural skills, Father God, her work at the hospitals, Father, I want to thank you for the favor over her career, Father God, favor over her work when as she's healing people and helping heal people, helping heal children, helping to better the world and better the people in the world in their physical bodies. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that you continue to guide her hands, guide her mind, guide her wisdom and her heart, Father God. Guide her intellect in making those decisions when she needs to make them. I want to thank you, Lord, that as she's risen with you, Lord Jesus, that you are increasing the power and the gift. Someone prayed it earlier, that you're increasing the power and the gifts that you have given her, Father. We thank you, God, that we can stand as part of her family, part of the witnesses, to walk a road with her as well, to commit to her, to helping her come to see those gifts also flourish, Lord God. We say, Father, that we are here as witnesses and we are here as her brothers and sisters, Lord, that Rose has got a family now and that she's not alone, God. That as she goes through hardships, as she goes through troubles, Father God, you will give us the strength and the capacity to come alongside her and pick her up as Aaron and the guys did for Moses, Lord. I want to pray, Father, that Rose will know that she knows that as long as she has her natural family, as she has a natural family, she has a spiritual family as well. And that, Father, in this house, Father God, she will be a part of a house that praises the Lord God. That we will praise the Lord with her, Father, until the day that you come, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us such an incredible gift, Father God, in Rose, Father, that you've given us such an amazing woman in her, Father God. We thank you, Father, that we will learn from her as well, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I know I already had my chance, but I just, Rose, while they were praying for you, I just saw this picture, like a celebrity that's on a red carpet. And I will still pray about it, but I just really see you walking down this red carpet, and you are actually waving like this, and it's just flashes, and you know, and as you are walking, this is just light coming in. And I just believe, if I will still pray about it and come back to you, but I just believe that you're a light bringer, and not only with who you are and what you are, but with Christ in you. And I just I just know that you are going to set the path for many. Yeah? Amen.
Yeah, I just want to agree with that. I just felt, you know, like a Pocahontas to build bridges between communities. I think somebody else prayed here about reconciliation. Yeah, yeah. That you will have the ability to restore and to build, to bring reconciliation between people, and even people from the world and people that knows Christ. Mm. You know, that bridge to. To not condemn people, but to let them experience the love of God. Yes. I believe that's the anointing that God wants to put on your life. Amen.
This ties in with the word that Sivisa gave this morning about God being a warrior, a God of war fighting on our behalf. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Thank you, Father God, that you sing over Rose, Lord, that you rejoice over her, Lord, and that you quiet her with your love. And in the times, Father God, that she feels like she is too tired or she can't fight a certain battle or whatever it is, Lord, thank you, Father God, that you fight for her, Lord. You are a mighty warrior on a huge horse fighting for her, Lord, just riding into battle for her. And I thank you, Father God, that you dance over her, that you sing over her, that your banner over her is love, Father God, that you quiet her with your love, Father. So I thank you, Father God, that, yeah, Lord, that it's not a a thing like she must be quiet, Lord. But thank you, Father, that in the turmoil or whenever life gets hard and she wants to just scream, thank you, Father God, that you quiet that scream in her, Lord, with peace and with love, and that she will feel a tremendous sense of your peace over her, Father God, in the hard times. And I thank you, Lord, that you dance and sing over her in the good times and the bad times, in all of the times, that you are always, always with her. In Jesus' name.
Father, I just want to pray, thank you for the amazing blessing that Rose is in our lives, Lord. Father, I want to pray for an amazing revelation of your love for her and who she is in you, Lord, that she will draw her identity, her confidence from you, Lord, that you will guide her every step from this day forth and bless her way, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Rose, when everyone was praying, I just felt like God wanted to say to you that now, this new life, the first thing he wants to put on you is love, and he wants you to know how amazing you are. And when you went into the water, with it went all your doubts, and the anything that wasn't good and of him is gone too. And you really need to walk in the love he has for you, and you really need to know that, yeah, he's put you on this earth to bless many, many people, and there's no more walking in the shadows. You walk in his light now, and you're going to walk in that confidence, because you are a blessing and he loves you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rose. Let's give her a hand. Yeah. So.